Okay, we have board time Wednesday, May 27th at 3:02. Well, Mr. Chair.
Okay, welcome. First of all, I see we have some extra staff here, and I don't want to keep them holding. So, Heath, you're welcome to lead on your part.
Mr. Chair, Betty Sue Morris and Chris Horn are having a discussion about this venue for the bid award, and once they clarify that, they will join us. So if we could jump to the ADO designation.
Sure. Okay. If you don't mind, I'd like to lead off on this. Is that okay, fellow counselor?
No political speech.
Pardon me?
No political
speech. In fact, to make sure I'm kept on track on message, I want to read what is exactly my position on this, okay? Over the past few weeks, I've had an opportunity to have numerous conversations regarding this topic with a number of our state representatives and local leaders. I give great weight to the recommendations of the elected representatives of the people. My position is now, and always has been, that I support the mission and the work of the CREDC, which is to bring a strong and thriving business environment to Clark County and to bring more living wage jobs to Clark County. In that regard, we have the same mission. We are on the same team. For those reasons, I have decided to vote in support of the redesignation of the CREDC as the Associate Development Organization. However, I continue to make a plea to the CREDC to take a neutral position on controversial projects that may not have the support of our community, and that may cause to further divide our community. And again, I am a yes vote on the designation of the CREDC as the ADO.
Probably should have read that after we moved on. Further discussion.
Well, I want to get at least my position off on the right foot.
So, we've looked at this for, I think, about 2 months, maybe 2.5 months from the time we knew when we were reminded when it comes forward annually or biennially. I've advocated for this from the beginning. A lot of it has to do with sitting on the CREDC board and having current CREDC experience at the same time having 6 years experience when I was at the city council and seeing the difference in CREDC in its functioning and its effectiveness, seeing the difference what it was in that six-year period to what it is currently. And the amazing improvements that have occurred in its role, in its functioning, in its mission, in its effectiveness, in its accomplishment of goals, actually outlining goals and meeting those goals or exceeding those goals. That's reason to me to support designating them as the ADO. Your concern has not been without merit, however. Whether it's the Mill Plain Interstate 5 exchange or any specific exchange that is advocated for in a stronger way than the general transportation picture is a good question. And I think CREDC in policy that they've established has indicated that they're not going to show special favor to any one exchange. That they will focus more on, in general, the importance of transportation infrastructure, which is part of their role and responsibility. So I think something else happened, too, from the pause. I think the county commissioner's role has in some venues, and we've seen it truly in CTRAN, and we've seen it to some degree in RTC, where the counselors have been kind of minimized in the process, and we're not going to have any more of that. We are a group to be reckoned with in all venues, and I think the pause of this has made us all rethink how we interact and are part of other groups. We're not irrelevant, and we won't allow ourselves to be irrelevant. So I think I think this is a good reset for us. We're in the region. We're parties to be reckoned with. At the same time, that really is a little bit different than CREDC and their role. It's told me something separate that's not even related specifically to CREDC, because in my time there, I've been treated as a respected member, and I've been listened to, and I serve both on the general board and the executive board, and I'm treated with respect on both of those. So for all those reasons, I believe we should be asking for that direction for the ADO money to go to CREDC. But I do mean that it is time for the other organizations we deal with to know we're serious when we're at the table. So that's really, in my mind, a separate issue from CREDC. So that's I just wanted to offer that as an indication of why I support it.
Okay.
Well, I guess we've been supporting this for 6.5 years that we've been here. I knew what it was 2 weeks ago when we put a pause on it. I knew what it was. We put a pause on it last week, and it was very justified. My fear is that we're going to be supporting this, and we're going to have the mill plane I-5 interchange built as recognized by the federal government as part of the CRC project, and in the federal eyes it will be blessed and moved forward as a CRC project. I think we've made some mistakes in our partners in the CREDC. For whatever reason, I don't know, but I'm still going to support it. Call for the question.
And just as a follow-up to that.
I call for the question. I called for the question. I want to take a vote on the call for the question.
So you want discussion to cease?
Yes.
Are you calling me on that?
I just called for the question. You had called for a vote.
If there's a second.
I'll second.
If you're motioning, I will second. Oh, I'm glad to second.
In other words, to terminate discussion. Okay. All in favor of calling the question?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes.
Okay, that's enough of the question.
I move that we ask Mark McCauley to sign the letter indicating that Department of Commerce forward the ADO money to our designate CREDC.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Okay. Thank you. All right. Do we have who we need here?
Chris Horn settled the question whether we need to take public testimony on the bid award.
Okay.
And he says...
That's it?
He says we do not.
Okay.
He came for the hot.
sorry. Cut it off.
We just touched down. It's like, oh.
Thank you all.
Pretty bad.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, so you want to leave, Heath?
Did you want to leave, or?
Priscilla is Mike Westerman today.
I actually have.
And so she has the memo.
The memo.
The official reading of the
toward.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
With the chair's permission,
absolutely.
Can have her read that memo.
Sure.
This is for award of CRP 330022 Big Tree Creek Bridge. The Big Tree Creek Bridge project will scour, countermeasures, and seismically retrofit the existing bridge. Purchasing received 6 responses to CRP 330022. The bids were checked for accuracy, content, and compliance to the specifications. Upon review, it was found that the low bidder, PCR Incorporated of Beaver Creek, Oregon, had irregularities in their DBE and was therefore rejected. Purchasing and Public Works recommend that Big Tree Creek Bridge be awarded to the lowest responsive bidder, Marino and Nelson Construction of Walla Walla, Washington, in the total bid amount of $346,054.95, including Washington State sales tax, and grant authority to the county manager to sign all bid-related documents, contracts.
Okay.
So, I move to reopen the continued public hearing for bid award at CRP 330022 Big Tree Creek Bridge.
No second.
Okay. Comments? You can read that if you like.
I don't know if that has to be you. Having reopened the public hearing, we can now open the hearing up for public comment. But I think
it sounded like Chris said we didn't have to have public comment.
Well, even so,
we can do it.
I always welcome if there's an opportunity there. So this is a public meeting, and if anyone wants to weigh in, we got a few guests here, citizens, on this issue.
Point of order.
Raise your hand.
Point of order. Did the board actually vote to reopen the hearing?
Oh.
It was moved and seconded.
Oh, we actually have a.
We can hear.
The motion she read was to reopen the public hearing. It was moved and seconded. If that has to happen before discussion.
That was your motion, to reopen it?
I did second.
Oh, okay. All right. Then, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we open up. And now.
Public comment.
This is the public comment time. Anybody of our guests here want to be able to speak? Look at your hands.
On the issue.
On this issue. Okay, seeing none. Okay, public comment is closed. And now we can consider the matter ahead of us. You got more written down there?
No.
Okay, all right. So are we ready? I'm ready for a motion to award the bid.
So moved.
Second.
Can you specify that more explicitly?
Yes, it is to accept award of CRP number 330022 Big Tree Creek Bridge.
To award
the bid.
I'll second it.
That's to Marino and Nelson Construction in the amount of $348,054.95, including or with
actually $346,054.02.
Okay, thank you for that correction.
It's actually 95. We found a
95 what?
Oh,
instead of 02?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm looking at what's written in front of me here. So 346,054.95.
Yes.
That's the right amount.
The first
okay.
letter was had a small discrepancy in the cents.
Okay, so that's a sufficient.
Now you think so, longer.
And so that was basically the clarification of the motion.
Yeah,
that you
I
made.
Want a clarification of the amount.
$346,054.95.
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is
so
there a second?
A second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Okay. Thank you. All right, that was 1.2. Now we can. Are you wrapped up there, Heath? Or is there anything else for you?
That was it.
Okay. So we have.
Do you want to revisit the minutes? Or
yes. We can move. Now we're not waiting for anybody. We can go back to normal order 1.1. Okay. ready for a motion for the May 13th?
So I've already read them and already agree with them. So
okay.
Item 1.1, approval of the minutes for Clark County board time for May 13th and also for May 20th, 2015.
I'll
move for
motion.
Approval.
Okay. Is any discussion? Okay. Hang on a sec here. This one has to do with the ADO, and there was a no. Did we already approve the minutes
13.
For the one that had to do with our potential remodel?
That was the last one, the 20th.
So we should be looking at May 20th and May 13th.
Yeah.
May 13th, last week we had a discussion, and the quiet zone section was there were actions, guidance from the board that were not in the minutes.
Yes, in that way.
And so we added additional language here to clarify.
Very nicely, concisely put.
And yes, and Tina, had you review that?
Yes.
And it was accurate in your opinion. So
okay. So the yes, and that's for the May 13th. And the remodel action was on May 20. And if you don't mind, I would like to be able to approve these two sets of minutes with two separate votes like you normally like to do, because I have a reason that I'd like to be able to share when we get to the May 20.
I can do that.
Can you withdraw your motion?
So I withdraw my motion for approval of the joint dates approval.
Second.
Okay. All right. So the motion's been withdrawn. So now we're ready for a motion to approve the May 13 minutes.
So I move for approval of the minutes. Now, is this the first time we've seen these minutes?
May 13th?
Yes.
No. You saw them last week, and we had a discussion about...
So we did not approve them last week?
No. No, I think that the modification was extensive enough that you wanted to see it again
yes.
before approving them.
Okay. Just thank you for that clarification. So I move for approval of the minutes of May 13th.
I'll second.
Okay, any more discussion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, May 13 minutes are approved. I'll be happy to, once there's a motion and a second for May 20, offer some discussion.
Move for approval of the minutes of May 20, Board of County Councilors Board Time 2015.
I'll second.
Okay. And any discussion you have?
Not yet.
Okay. Okay. The you notice that on the May 20 minutes, there's space planning. And there's an action there to move forward on a remodel. And what I'd like to be able to do is to just simply follow up these minutes with a separate document that would follow these on the grid. That just simply relates to the documents, the fact that we delayed that and immediately following that meeting. And then we finally came up, brought it back, and reversed that vote on the following.
That's the note
week
we
later.
We discussed that note previously. I think.
Yeah. Is that okay?
Sure, as long as it's not part of the minutes.
No, it's not
yeah.
part of the minutes.
Right.
Okay. So we just simply are. In other words, a separate note would be added that would explain that to the citizens, not part of the minutes. Okay. So that really doesn't modify the minutes. That's
no.
just information. Okay. Any more discussion? All in favor?
But wait a minute. Where that document is, what kind of a document?
It's just simply a little Word doc. It's like one or two sentences that says what
is
transpired or after.
Is it an official county document?
So it would be.
It's a note that I... Did I give you a copy of it? You have a copy?
I don't have a copy of it.
It's brief. It's like, what, two sentences?
Well, here, I before we post that on the grid, I would like to see a copy of it and read it. So
that
before that instruction follows through, I'll be glad to go ahead and recommend approval of these minutes, but I want to see that. separate from this, yes, which you're saying is a separate document.
Sure.
But by passing these, I don't want the assumption that I'm agreeing to whatever that other document is to go on the grid as an official document, because I've never seen it.
And this
so
is
we'll see it. But yes. So let me just move on with this first. So regarding Board of County Councilors board time minutes of May 20th, did I move that we would approve this?
I'll second that.
Okay. Any more discussion?
No.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion passes. And Mark, when you find that, you can provide it to us when you're ready, okay? All right, moving on to 2.1, conditional use permit. Okay. That is you, Mark. You can lead.
Oh, actually, I got listed on all three of those, but none of them are mine, actually. The first one is Axel.
Axel.
So staff took we've talked about this for a long time, this position kind of, well, it began getting talked about even before we went through the surface mining overlay process, but it really kind of came out of that among some other discussions we've had. And so this is your staff's first shot at, I wouldn't say writing, but amending a staff or a job summary, job posting for this position. What it's titled right now is Conditional Use Permit Coordinator. I don't think anybody's stuck on that. It just seemed to make sense. We amended this job description from our current county code enforcement officer position, but I guess the highlights, we front-loaded the elements that came out of really dealing with quarries and mining, and we front-loaded the things that came out of the process for the surface mining overlay ordinance. So really, this person would not just focus on mining and quarrying. I think there's some other conditional use permits out there that this person could be responsible for looking in on, but it's really somebody needed in the county to focus on those large, complex conditional use permits that span not only our internal departments in the county, but often has to engage with other state agencies like Department of Natural Resources, Department of Ecology, Labor and Industries, and others. And so somebody really who can be a focal point for these large and complex conditional uses. And one thing I would add to that is, you know, these things come with many, sometimes hundreds of conditions, and so a lot of those conditions are prospective and need to be checked in on annually or every 6 months or even every month, depending on what the monitoring calls for. And so one thing that we kind of envision this position doing is getting these conditional use permits logged into the system, into our new permit tracking system, into some kind of database where they would get automatic updates to sort of do outreach to the permit holder or ask questions about the monitoring plan and kind of get those on just a better track, because right now it's kind of a lot of it's up in the air. And so,
Axel, why don't we do this? You've given us the document, and at least I have been very occupied today since you dropped it on my desk with meetings and with homework. Yep. So I why don't we bring this back for next week? We'll be able to focus on it, and if there's any one-on-ones be able to have between now and then, they'll give us opportunity to do that. Okay?
I think that's a great idea.
That works, yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I'm going to add to that, because we must discuss it when I missed the board meeting, and I have a issue adding another code enforcement officer for this narrow thing that we have, maybe two operable quarries in our county. That's no reason to add an FTE. And I don't think that we need to add another code enforcement person, because they have time to go back and bring up old cases, but not necessary. So I probably won't be supporting that unless I learn something this next week.
Well, as I understand this, Axel, this is not just another code enforcement person. This is an ombudsman for quarries, correct? In order to make sure that quarries are operating. What's that? Yeah.
He knows all about it. He goes out twice a year and inspected.
You recall that when we passed our, what was that document, the Surface
Reserve Mining Overlay?
Yeah, that we committed ourselves to ensure that we would monitor and do our part. That was a commitment that was built into that. And this is aimed at a surface mining and truck hauling. That's what this position is to focus on, and it's to respond to the both to make sure that the quarry operator is has everything they understand they need, their meeting conditions, and they're not unnecessarily hassled, and that the citizens are not unnecessarily negatively impacted. So this makes sure everybody's on the up and up.
And so that's correct. And if you'll get a chance to read through this, but under key or typical tasks, the first four bullets are all related to this person working not only with industry stakeholders, but the neighborhood, the citizens, answering questions, trying to work towards compliance. And I'll give credit to Gordy Euler. When we looked through the code enforcement officer job description, there was some of that stuff in there, but it was towards the bottom and it wasn't really emphasized. And Gordy had the suggestion that, you know, this person really needs to be somebody working with all the stakeholders and the people. That needs to be a primary function of this job, because there is so much. There's so much work across departments and with agencies. So the first four bullets really talk about, you know, going out and working and assisting citizens and explaining what the codes are, but also working towards compliance with the permit holders.
Okay. And I just wanted to.
I don't want to nitpick the intent here, but ombudsman, I think, is to give the impression of having a bias toward the use, as opposed to... Are we calling it ombudsman, or
I called it a coordinator, because this person's, I mean, just honestly, the person mainly is going to be coordinating among departments and jurisdictions. But I also, we left all of the powers and authority of a code enforcement officer in here, because at the end of the day, I do a lot of this right now, so does Gian Bazzala, but I'm not a code enforcement officer. I can write a letter to a quarry operator and they can choose to do something or nothing with it. I don't have any authority. So we wanted this person to act like a coordinator, start at the beginning with being polite, getting folks together, gaining understanding, and working towards a solution. But at the end of the day, if they have to issue a stop work order or issue a citation, they should have that power.
They should, after all other possibilities are exhausted, right?
I agree.
Our goal is to not put unnecessary constraints on any of these list of businesses, but also to protect the public interest. Mm-hmm. So to find that balance, is that what we're looking for?
Yeah, and I think the bullet here says, you know, it says enforcement could include, you know, violation letters. So it starts with the least strong to the, you know, to the stop work order. I think our code enforcement office does a good job of trying to start at the lowest levels and working their
way up. So the intent here is for us to follow through on the commitment that we made when we passed the surface mining overlay document. And this is not, we want to, first draft, when it comes to what do you call the person, whether you be an ombudsman, a court enforcement person, whatever, we want to make sure that it's not one that's meant to be adversarial toward any party, not toward the quarry operator, not toward the truckers, and not toward the impacted neighbors. I kind of view this a little bit like the Shane Gardner's position used to be with the sheriff, and that he would build relationships with all the interested parties, make sure that we are out there, tuned in, listening, solving problems proactively.
Yeah,
and our approach to this, too, is to... this was a line item in the supplemental budget that was not recommended to be funded as a permanent FTE. Our approach is that it will be a project position subject to expiration, because if we hire the right person for this position, hopefully they will work themselves out of a job.
Well, it certainly takes the first step, which is to see if we can make this successful. And if it looks like it makes sense, then we have the option to... fully fund it permanently.
Correct.
If it looks like it's somehow it does more harm than good, then we'll learn as we go.
Yes.
But this way, it gives us some budget control to do it as a project position.
Because right? I can create a project position for a maximum of 24 months, mm-hmm. after which the board then has to consider whether to make it a full-time permanent. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we'll bring this back, and the idea here is the opportunity for us is, if we can, make it better, each one of us. Okay, thank you. So that's 2.1.
Okay, 2.2 and 2.3 belong to Dr. Melnick. As you recall, at the Board of Health this morning, he brought up the funding cut for coordinated prevention grants, and he mentioned two House bills, and I think you got copies of those.
So,
we did.
Are these bills still alive?
I'll invite Dr. Melnick.
Hi, Doctor. I didn't know you were down there.
Slipped into the cover of darkness.
I'm so quiet and reserved. I'm lying
in the I asked the question because of it. If it's not alive, it's something that needs to be brought back next year.
So 1640. You want me to get started with the 1645 and 2211 are alive. 1645 is a vaping bill. It's gone through a number of changes, and but it's still alive, and it's still something that we think we should support because it does restrict vaping by minors. Now, there's been some things removed from it. For example, I think the flavoring piece has been the ban on flavorings and stuff like that has been removed, but basically, there's a number of other things that that remain that we think are worthwhile. So,
Doctor, may I ask you a question while you're there? Did it cover the part that we felt was very important to allow sampling in the facilities where you buy them?
Our ordinance does that.
Yeah.
But okay, as long as
this doesn't prevent that.
Yeah. This does.
Okay.
This
long the state that. Doesn't prevent yeah. it.
No, there was a move, I think, in the gaming committee to have the bill preempt local ordinances, and then appropriations remove that preemption. So okay. Locals are no longer. It doesn't preempt local governments from issuing something more strict like we've done here. So. And 2211 is provides a tax on vaping products, and I believe Representative Harris has already testified in favor of this, but what we're asking and what the State Association of Local Public Health Officials is asking is that 40% of the revenue that's generated from this tax on vaping devices come back to local public health for flexible use. So
is it stipulated now in the bill?
The bill stipulates that funding the tax and that that creates a public health services account and directs a portion of the tax revenue to that account. That's what the bill stipulates, but we're actually asking as this goes through to direct 40% of revenue back to local health jurisdictions.
They could probably amend that, be more specific, in the final passage of the bill.
So we would hope that the 40% comes back to local health departments. Okay. So any support you could provide on that would be great. So would so 2211 would tax these products. It creates a distributor and retail license to distribute and sell vapor products and imposes a 60% tax on vapor products and directs a portion of them to this public health account, public health services account. We'd like 40% of it to come back to local public health.
So this sounds like this is really two parts. One is the part that we're interested in is if there is going to be a tax, we want to make sure that we get that applied to where it would do the most good, which is here.
Exactly.
The first part of that, sounds like it's kind of, it's all take it or leave it, the whole package, which says if we support this, we're also supporting adding a 60% tax onto vaping products.
The bill includes a 60% tax as written there.
And so I would think that our position would then be if they pass that bill, we support that part that says use the taxes for its intended purpose, bring that to our public health. So we can specify just that part of it.
That's
right?
What I'm hoping we
do.
Do these
bills stipulate a 60% tax?
Imposes a 60% tax on vapor products. That is correct.
Bill 2211 does. So then I think we should ask ourselves. We've said we
business
consider
friendly?
It a legitimate business.
Yes.
Do we want to have any legitimate business have a 60% tax, even if it's something we think is foolish
or
ridiculous?
Well, what we can do to solve that problem is we can say we do not support adding a 60% tax to vaping products. However, if they do pass that against our will, then we
still
specify that it ought to provide a good community service in our local area. In other words, what you're suggesting is put that tax to so it'll do flow back to the community.
Exactly, and I don't have any. I didn't have any input on the 60%. I mean, that's that number.
That's the bill.
But if so, whatever revenues are generated, I mean, it is going to. There needs to be something here because it's going to take funding to regulate these. You know, for example, distribution to minors and things like that.
Because you don't like it.
So
it's like me. That's like me putting a tax on a bicycle, or a bicycle is putting a tax on my car because they don't like it.
Except there will be requirements around enforcement of these. For example, somebody's going to have to enforce the sale to minors, for example. So there's costs associated with that. So
we can qualify what we're asking.
Yep, I'd be thrilled
so we
if
can
you guys did that.
Have a letter crafted that would have both the minus and the plus specified in that letter. Did you tune into that, Axel?
I know.
Okay.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Can you put something together?
I certainly can.
I'll help you with it. That'd be great.
So pros and cons of 1645 is what we're talking about from the council.
There's two different bills here. 1645 is the one that restricts access by minors. It doesn't have any. There's no. The other bill, 2211, okay. I've got them both here, is the one that provides that 60% tax.
Okay, so 2211.
And I've got summaries of both of them here if you want. And the nice thing about 1645 is that the Appropriations Committee made sure that the preemption was removed, so you can't preempt local governments. It doesn't preempt local governments like ours from doing something more restrictive, which you have already done.
Mm-hmm. And I think at
WASAC,
as these have been in the milk, we were advocating for 1645, which does not preempt local ordinances and restricts purchase by minors. So we did at WASAC, that's as the legislative rep, that's one of the things that I supported. Mm-hmm. This one with the 60% tax, I did not support that. Mm-hmm. But I agree we can write a letter saying mm-hmm. if it passes, we need our fair share of the tax money mm-hmm. to support community service of enforcement.
So
and
prevention?
It's actually pretty flexible. I mean, the more flexible the revenue in terms of doing public health work, the better around prevention.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's no reservations on supporting HB 1645 that restricts the sale to minors and allows local flexibility.
Right. I haven't read these.
Neither have I.
Bringing them back next week.
Well, we'd have to sign the letter anyway, so we have time to read it.
Good point.
Yeah, there was some 1645 went through a couple of other changes. It doesn't preempt anything right now, but it does restrict internet shipment because it was concerned that minors would be able to get these products through the internet. And again, the preemption isn't there. You can and somebody who's going to be distributing or selling them has to have a license, and that license allows the Liquor Control Board officers to do the enforcement piece that they need to do, and there's a licensing fee.
Were those all added through amendment?
what happened is there was this bill has gone through several changes. I know there were amendments.
So the one I'm looking at here is not the amended copy.
Are you looking at the original one, like from a few months ago?
It's what you just gave us.
No, it is. It could be.
This is the most recent one that's been through appropriations.
Well, it says point one in the upper left.
Doctor, do you know what our local delegation, how they weigh in about these?
Already.
I believe they're supportive of these.
That's one I sent.
So the one here, it should say by House Appropriations, because that's where it's most recently been.
Okay.
Yeah, in one bill it was the original, and then the other had a second substitute, so it had been...
It's gone through several different changes.
So, it'd be nice to get a summary, a bill summary.
Yeah, Axel's going to make copies for you.
But you have to read through the whole thing, because the bill summary talks about the changes as it went through gaming, and then it went back to appropriations. And when you get to the end of it, it tells you exactly where it's been and what the changes have been.
Okay. But just so I understand my task, it looks like 1645 has kind of three major substantive things, and then 2211 has four. I'm going to go through in a letter format and say what our position is on each of those seven things. We like this, we don't like this.
That sounds...
Well, they're already in the bill. It's already gone through that. It's been substituted to include the amendments. It says at the top of 1645, second substitute.
Are there any of those bullets we don't agree with?
I think what I heard the council just saying right now, though, is that they had some concerns about the 60% tax.
That's the obvious 40%. One that pops out. I think all of us, even though you did a great job getting that to us earlier, we've been busy ever since.
I'm sorry.
No, I didn't.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay, Mark gets credit.
All over it.
So rather than us take positions on each one of those points, if you could just highlight what those points are, and then we can give you feedback, and potentially you could craft a letter based on that. At this point, it would be premature for us to be able to try to take a position on those points now.
Well, why don't I do my best to draft a letter? I will attach it to these two bill reports so you have more information. Then you can read the letter and the bill information for yourselves and decide if you like it or not.
Just
for 1645, go all the way through it, because it went through, when you read the beginning of it, it talks about what the gaming committee did to change it, the original bill, and then it goes back to appropriations, and the appropriations undid some of the stuff that gaming did, and it talks about those changes as well. And that's where it's at right now. So make sure you read through the entire document. I apologize.
Well, you're not the one to craft it. You don't have to apologize for their...
It's kind of like making a cake, I guess, in the legislature.
Doesn't this, for this special session, wrap up on the 30th? And then they're going to
end up... Unless they extend it.
I don't know.
Add another 30.
So whatever it is, it's going to have to be timely if this is an active bill now.
The bottom line on 1645 is it basically, has a license piece in there and has the Liquor Control Board doing the enforcement piece. It restricts internet sales and it removes the preemption that the gaming committee, whatever the name of the committee is, gaming and something else, had put in there.
Commerce and gaming. Yeah, okay.
But basically the idea of that is to restrict the sale to minors.
Gaming. What does gaming have to do with vaping products?
Somehow it got assigned to that committee.
It was probably just the closest thing. Commerce and gaming.
Gambling and smoking.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, they put it in the committee.
I mean, the original bill way back several months ago had restrictions on flavorings. You may remember that.
Yeah.
We brought that to you. And a number of other psychoactive substances. And I believe the bill still bans you putting other substances in there as well, which we were concerned about.
Okay. So thanks for helping us do our homework. Anything else you want to say about those bills?
Not that, but then I got the marijuana piece.
Okay, go ahead.
So this one's a bit complicated also. And the Initiative 502, the marijuana initiative, originally specified that 10% of whatever was raised on marijuana taxes would go to local public health. And that would amount to about $15 to $20 million. What's happened now is there's two competing bills. Zentide.
Thanks.
One in the Senate and one in the House. Senate bill is 5052. The House bill is 2136. And basically, I don't know what kind of compromise is going to come out of it. One of the bills, I'm not sure which one it is, would have the funding coming through DOH, the tax money coming through the Department of Health. What WASAC and WASAFL were asking is that whatever compromise is made on those bills, they originally promised that 10% would go to public health. Mm-hmm. We want to ask that $15 million, instead of going through the Department of Health, that $15 million raised through the marijuana tax comes directly to local public health departments like ours.
Sure.
That's what the ask is.
Good. Is that that simple? Yes.
That's basically the simple ask.
Okay. I would think then you're looking for a letter of support for that?
Letter of support or direction to the, to our
lobbyists.
Our lobbyists would be fine.
And I would think that the letter of support would be a way for us to be able to just simply get that into his hands as soon as possible. So, Axel, you know what to do there?
Yep.
Okay.
And we prefer the money come directly rather than going to the state DOH.
Yes.
Yeah, because they may attach conditions to it.
Conditions, they take money off the time.
Full 10%. Overhead.
We want to be able to directly overhead. Do the work that's done at the ground level.
Right.
No, organized.
I have an unfair advantage. I have a snap back.
Yes, you do.
That's
something.
Well, that's next.
Okay. This is
next. That's 2.2.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry.
So we good on this?
Done with
the bills?
Okay.
Waiting through these.
So you're done, Dr. on everything?
Well,
yeah, we got one more.
We got one
2.2.
Oh.
We skipped
sorry.
Over that. Because right. Councilor Mielke started talking about the legislative things.
No sorry about me.
No blame.
He was talking about both.
No blame. We've been all over the board today.
11 and this.
We've been all over the board.
Doctor, you're going to lead on 2.2?
So this is what I discussed earlier. These are the coordinated prevention grants that come from the Department of Ecology. And this is the funding. The Senate and the House bill have cut out about $14 million, about half of it, 50% reduction. And this is what these are dollars that we use to respond to solid waste complaints.
Wait, hold a minute.
I'm sorry.
I want to make sure that
all season.
That we all can tune in.
There you go. There you go.
There you go.
Okay.
Right between them.
All right. Do you want to give us a brief summary again? Because even the recorder probably wasn't able to pick up what you're saying.
Okay. I'm sorry. So this is the... I've never had any trouble with voice modulation or anything like that. This might be the first. So these are the dollars that come through the Department of Ecology. It's a CPG, Coordinated Prevention Grant. And these are for, there was $29.6 million originally proposed. And these are dollars that we've gotten year after year after year. The Senate and the House budget have lowered it to $15 million. So basically that would really curtail our ability to respond to solid waste complaints.
Okay, this is what you were hearing this morning.
Exactly.
Okay.
And there's a little summary of it in the letter here, about what implications it might have for us.
So the response on that would be similar. We would craft a letter, and we'd each sign it and direct our lobbyists accordingly. Okay.
And I think WASAC is in support of this.
And our local delegation is supportive as well. So, Axel, you got a little more homework there.
What did WASAC say about it?
I haven't had a communication with WASAC about this in the last 2 weeks. They have, they had like 12 people on staff following legislation for a while, but as that's gone away, now they have a fraction of people. And really, they don't actively communicate with us right now this late. We have to go to them. So I can go to them and talk to the person.
I spoke to Brad Banks about it today, and Brad was the one who...
WASAC?
Well, Brad works at WASAC. He's...
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, that's what we need to do. And does he know... I'm the legislative rep. So, did you tell him you know me?
No, but I should. I mean, Brad is a WASAFL. He does the lobbying for WASAFL, which we're an affiliate of WASAC, Washington State Association of Local Public Health Officials.
Okay, but is he WASAC or just connected to
WASAC? He's WASAFL, but he works for WASAC. So, you know, right now, sitting here at this moment, I can't tell you that. I should have asked Brad that question directly, whether WASAC itself has taken a stand on this.
I'll be glad to check with them and advocate.
Sorry, my bad.
And feel free to share with Axel
confused,
to inform
Jerry.
Him so he can grasp it.
Yes, because, well, and he will call our lobbyist. So
it looks like this letter is a good start, so I'll just start
with
that.
Hear from us.
And then the doc will buy me lunch sometime because now I'm writing him three letters.
Yes.
Okay. 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 I will.
It's on the record.
You really want to spend that time with me?
Of course I do.
Wow.
Okay, so Axel's got three letters to draft. And we'll look at those and make sure we're on point on each of the individual components of those bills.
So you're going to take this and recraft it?
I'm going to use as much of it as I can, but yes.
Okay, so are we wrapped up with your part, Doctor?
Thank you for spending all this extra time with me today. I really appreciate it.
Great.
Yeah, it was your day, Doc.
Okay, so that was 2.2 and 2.3, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we can jump back to
the
note that we referred to follow the May 20 minutes. Each of you have a copy. It's just, it's like one sentence, so feel free to read that.
Known as a run-on sentence.
Yeah. So I'll read it for the record. This is what is, in fact, I'll just read the email. This is sent by me, May 18, to Mark. Mark, here is the proposed note to follow the May 13, 2015 board time minutes on the grid that explain the pause of the remodel plans. Thanks again for your support and always being quick to save and slow to spend. The heading is 13 May 2015 post-meeting pause of the remodel option, and the statement reads as follows. Following the May 13th board time meeting, where County Manager Mark McCauley provided several options to accommodate two new county councilors, David Medore examined the existing offices and asked Mark McCauley to pause the proposed remodel in order for the councilors to have an opportunity to more diligently consider the no-cost option at the next board time meeting. Mark agreed. The reason that I'm in there is because it was a 2-to-1 vote. I was one of those votes, and Mark was kind enough to let me take a look at the offices immediately after. And I'm glad that we did take a little extra time because we all unanimously ended up with a very different decision.
Well, and although it was unanimous for the moment, let's go back to the board minutes of the 20th for space planning.
Okay. And
where it refers, Stuart spoke about the associated costs with the charter passing, spoke about adding two offices as the building had been designed for it. She asked for more refined cost analysis. So is that still in the mill? Are we going to...
Well, we already voted.
Are we not going to spend the money to develop that at all because we're not going to move ahead with it?
That's correct.
I see.
We went back and reconsidered the vote.
No, I'm just saying I'm not talking about spending $500,000 on it, on just putting together a cost package for what it would cost, an estimate, a rough idea, because what we had was kind of immediate scratches on a diagram, and we had no refinement ever to that.
Yeah, those estimates were based on other work we've done in the building.
Yeah.
It goes back.
Best guess.
Send a vote
without paying money to get more precise.
I'm sure about a no until you had that.
We finally figured that out after the next week.
Well.
So I think, Councilor Medore, earlier today when we discussed this note, before we had copies of it, you had mentioned putting this note on the grid with the minutes of the 20 May
following
meeting,
just simply posted it, adjacent to them.
But it should be posted with the 13 May.
Actually, this says the 13 May.
Right. Right.
Yes.
So I just.
Oh, thank you for that correction.
Yeah.
So however, I want to have it be clear: it is not part of anything that happened in the formal minutes that were taken. I don't want there to be any misunderstanding.
Correct. This is the minutes are a separate document.
Yeah.
And this is
okay.
A separate document that follows.
Yeah, so there'll be a second link next to that on the grid. One will say minutes, and the other will say post-meeting note.
You know, so back to my point, we said the cost of doing it was too much, so therefore we were going to make do with our existing offices. That still is not the complete picture of what we should have to make that kind of a decision, I don't think. I'm just saying. So, I guess we'll revisit it sometime in the future.
No. We voted to use existing offices.
Yes.
And so the cost to put it in there would be any wiring if it's not done.
It's already done.
Well, all wiring should be done. All air
it can accommodate.
And moving in the furniture.
Buying the furniture and moving it in.
We don't have furniture? We might look. We got rooms.
I know we have surplus furniture, but it's systems furniture for cubicles. It's not wood furniture for a counselor office.
So the decision here and what's in front of us here is that we're going to live within our means, and we're not going to. And this is basically the no cost option when it comes to the remodel
to the physical structure of the building.
Right. And if you need to buy computers and equip them,
cell phones,
so that they can do their job, you do that. I would say you would. Do what you do best. Continue to be practical. Great.
All right, so I'll buy two new chairs for the dais.
Okay. Yes.
Unless you want to understand.
So we have consensus. This is okay to put a note that explains to the citizens why we didn't act on that first 13 May meeting.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
You okay with that?
I thought you already agreed.
Actually, you did act on the 13th. Then you acted again on the 20th.
We acted.
And this enabled you to act on the 20th.
The request to bring it back, put it back on the
20th. We acted and then paused on the 13th. Yeah. And this explains the pause.
Correct.
You probably could have not even put it on the agenda and brought it forward, haven't voted on the prevailing side. Okay. Quit beating the dead horse. Let's move.
Okay, we're good. You're being awful silent there.
Well, it brings me back to what do we post on the grid? Official documents. And this is an action that was taken outside of an official capacity. So
that's a good point.
We have brought this up more than once. What is it that we agree is appropriate to be posted on the grid? And I thought we agreed that it was official documents that had been done in the official course of business. So this then this is different then. So then have we gone back on, and that was agreement that we made.
Having voted on the prevailing side, I wish reconsideration of this. And you're right. It's like a memo note.
Exactly.
And we took the proper action on the 20th.
If I can explain the origin and the intent behind the grid, we made a commitment to the people to do the business of the people with maximum transparency and open government, and to post relevant documents so that they can understand and they can follow with sensible sequence and flow to explain the operation of their government. And if they were to just simply follow the minutes the way they were, we leave a hole in that that this explains very clearly. So if we err on any side, we've always erred on the side of transparency and openness and full disclosure from the beginning of the grid.
If we use that for an example, then we probably should have another note that says that you went and asked for the ADO to put back on here too. And then Jeannie came up 15 minutes later and asked what the ADO put on the agenda too. We could put all this on the grid. I think Jeannie's right.
You're talking about the actions that we take in our board meetings?
No, that's the request. This is a request from you to him to put it back on the agenda. Board agenda.
Well,
and
if
it's
I
there, and then we made a follow-up action.
That's right.
And that's all.
That's legal action.
It's all
If I can just make an appeal to don't dial back the full disclosure that we provide to the citizens on the grid. It backs up our open government and our transparency, our track record of helping them to engage and understand and follow the processes.
We need to include Jimmy.
What do you want? I'd be happy to include anything.
Where's it going to end?
Here's my position. Anything that I do that is not in a formal meeting on the record, where the action is taken on the record during the course of the meeting, I don't want to see it on the grid, because it's chit-chat, it's a side meeting, it's a follow-up, it's something else. I would not expect to see something that did not happen in the course of a meeting posted on the grid with official actions and official documents of Clark County. And we had this discussion about 2 months ago about what goes on the grid and who can post it and when, and we agreed it had to be official documents that occurred in normal course of business.
And at least two of us had to do it.
Pardon me?
And at least two of us had to do it. Agreed to put it on the grid.
Yeah.
That's what we talked about. So.
I don't think we should post it on there.
I agree.
And I do think that the actions that are taken on the 20th, you clearly stated what your motivation was and why you thought that was the right action. And I don't think that can be questioned.
Well done.
Well, it doesn't look like we have consensus to put that on the grid. So we'll move on. Looks like we've got all the items covered. Councilor reports. Councilor Stewart.
I have no current report. Thank you.
Okay. The only one I want to bring up today, in the interest of time, is our new policy on the TIF that we have staff working on.
Mm-hmm.
Is that done?
No, we have a work session coming up. I can't recall off the top
July,
of my head.
Early July.
Okay.
Thanks,
good.
Axel.
Good. All right. That's all I wanted to bring up.
Okay. Mark, you got anything else?
No, I'm good.
Axel, you got anything else?
Nope.
Peter, you have anything else? Okay. Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion to adjourn. Thank you.
I'll ask you about the subject of later. For the report.
No, go ahead and smack me. I've had it a while.
Not that long.
A minute?
Uh-huh.
Not that long. But is it mine or?
Uh-huh, it's yours. And then we'll go ahead and read that, and on Monday we can chat about it during our one-on-one.
Tom, TIF, transportation impact fees.
Yeah, even though we have a freeze on it right now,
yeah.
We gave direction to the staff to go back and look at it and have fewer districts. And there's an advantage to the builder as well as the county. And so we're hoping to get down to at least three.
So
and I don't know if we got
there. It's more usable and we can apply it where it's more effective within the district rather than a lot of districts that are very small.
Right.
And if you can't use it in that district, you can't use it.
You got to give it back.
Yeah.
But you can't make it so large. See, traffic impact fees.
Legally, yes. It's right. It has to be the impact of the area.
The people who are trying to help will be the people complaining.
The city was very strict about that. So, okay.
All right.
All right.
Is that off?
Oh, no, it isn't. Just had a quick update for you on that Miller paint.